Hi everyone, it's Sierra here and you're listening to the College Podcast. Hi everyone and welcome to a new week. It is a very nice day outside. The sun is shining and I'm so excited to be recording this episode. Last week, if you happened to catch that episode, I kind of talked about how I'm going to be talking a little less about summer and getting ready for college and more about some of my passions, I guess I could say. And I didn't really think about saying this, but now I'm thinking about saying this, so therefore I'm going to say this, that I think passion can kind of be like a loaded word. I know some people who are like 40, 50, and they're all like, oh, I haven't found my passion yet. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes like that might be true where they don't really know what makes them happy, but, and I might be someone who's really lucky where like I found like some of my passions when I was 12 or when I was 15. Like, so I just, or maybe I'm just a more of a, like a passionate person where I really like to do things that I enjoy or I try to push myself. I don't really know, but I have like a handful of passions, I guess I would say, maybe even more than a handful, like a generous handful of passions. And so today, I am going to be sharing one with you, which is like my passion for learning. And then this is also something that I wanted to say right off the bat. I don't think a passion is something that you find, although I might catch myself like using that expression, like finding a passion. I think it's something that you really have to build. I think in life you probably have like the building blocks to find your passion, but like you gotta, you know, grab the hammer and the nails and build your passion. I don't think it's just gonna like wind up on your lap, and you just gotta trust the process, which is like kind of my life like mantra or whatever. It's just like, just trust the process and you will end up where you need to be. So yes, alrighty, so let's kind of go into the typical introduction for this podcast, which is starting off with what has happened this week / last week since like last time we spoke, which was Wednesday, and then also just some interesting things that I found. I used to call them fun facts, but I'm thinking about calling them observations. I don't know, and I don't really care, so whatever. We'll figure it out. But basically, in life right now, I'm starting to do like school stuff, but I'm not packing to move into my dorm, and I'm still working. Actually, my last day at the coffee shop was yesterday, which was so crazy because it's just weird like saying goodbye to people and also like seeing people that I've known since I was like in third grade or like seventh grade or kindergarten, and being like, oh my gosh, there's a good chance in life that I will just like not see you again, which is just like sad, but also just like we're all moving on. And I think college is kind of cool because it allows you to move on and get out of your town and move into a different town and kind of start your own life. So yeah, that was kind of an interesting thing that went on. And also through my work, I worked a lot this summer, and I kind of realized that I want to find some more fulfilling work, because I feel like if you're putting your time into something, you want it to be fulfilling. And also, if I seem a little distracted, there is this like ginormous wasp in between like my screen and my window, and I'm not gonna deal with it. I'm gonna let my dad deal with it when he gets home. But it is flying around and it scares me. And well, I shouldn't say it scares me. It alerts my attention. And yeah, it like literally is flying in circles and crawling in circles. And I'm just scared that it's going to find like a hole through my window. Although I do not have a hole through my window, like some kind of crack or crevice or something, and fly in there and attack me. Yeah, I'm keeping my shades open to keep an eye on this wasp. But yeah, so if I'm drifting off or saying a lot of ums, that is because I'm spending my time looking at this ginormous wasp. Like, it's not no regular wasp. Like, this thing's huge. And that would really, really hurt, and if it stung me. So Yeah, I'm just hoping that my brother doesn't come home and just like opens my window and then we have a wasp on the loose because this thing like, eeh. So anyways, that's if I'm distracted, that is why. Yeah, it's like cleaning its antenna now. It's, I don't know what it's doing. Now it's like itching its leg. Okay, whatever. We're moving on. So yeah, although like kind of go back to what I was saying, although I want to find more fulfilling work, I also really like the relationships that I like have at work and stuff, like my work friends. And then also like overall, which I already kind of touched on, is I'm feeling like so much nostalgia about work and school and everything. Like, oh my gosh, we went to high school together. We're not in the same grade anymore. You know, we're like, we're not in high school together. We went to high school, or like we used to work with each other. We don't work with each other anymore. So it's just really weird. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I think if I didn't have college, or if college just wasn't a thing that you went to, it would be interesting to see like the time frames where everyone chooses to move on and start kind of like a new chapter in their life. It would be interesting to see if college didn't exist and how people moved on and stuff. Alrighty. So I think before I jump into how I built my passion for learning, I think it's important to say or start off with how I learn. So learning in the world today, or the world I live in today, is really like listening to podcasts. I watch like a ton of crash course videos. I just got an iPad and I will stay up so late watching crash course videos that we used to watch in like history class and stuff. There's so much, yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch. And you can learn like anything on Crash Course. And because it's like Crash Course, it's like a reliable source of information. Like you're not like, it's not some random person telling you what they think about a topic. It's actual scientific, factual information. So it's really, really interesting and highly recommend watching Crash Course videos on like anything. I love them personally. And then I read like, I've kind of put in air quotes, like educational books, like books that are more meant for learning. I mean, I think every book is educational, like if it's fiction, nonfiction, biographical, whatever. I think you learn so much from any book, but I like consider this like, I don't want to use the term self-help either because they're not really self-help books, but like I recently read Think Again by Adam Grant, and that's I guess more of like a psychology book, which was really interesting. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has an awesome biography. I think it's kind of a semi-autobiography as well, called like In Her Own Words. So I kind of call those like educational books, like books that I'm picking up to specifically learn something. And then I also read a ton of fiction books, which I find I learn so much from as well. The reason why I kind of separate the two is I find these educational books, and we'll exempt biographies from the list because I can really get lost in a biography. But fiction books, I could read a fiction book in like one day. Once you get past like the 70 page mark or whatever, and you're just like so sucked into the book, I could sit down and read one all day if I wanted to. And books that are more meant for like learning or studying or gathering information, they take me a while to get through, which honestly makes sense because it's so much more to process. Right now I'm reading The Body Keeps the Score. And it's really interesting and I really love it, and you can become engrossed in it. But then also I feel like when I become engrossed in those kind of books, sometimes I don't pick up as much because it's just a lot of information at once, where I feel like sometimes you need a little bit of time to digest. So I typically, like I said, switch between educational and fiction books regularly. At one point I used to read like 5 books at a time. Now I'm really trying to get into the discipline of reading one book from start to finish and then reading another, because I can kind of find myself getting lost in one and not liking the other and stuff. And then you kind of forget if you start a book and then don't read it for a couple of weeks, then go back to it. But again, it's all practicing. It's a practice and a discipline. It's not really something that you're just born into knowing how to read perfectly and how to learn so much from reading. It's something you're practicing. And so I'm practicing that right now. But so how did I really like get to this point where I think learning is like a passion of mine? So I kind of did some reflection before I came up with the layout for this podcast. And I kind of titled this like when I really started to love learning. And I kind of thought back and realized that it dates back to like grade school when we watched Brain Pop videos. So as many of you probably don't know, maybe you do, maybe everyone in my age group like grew up watching Brain Pop videos. I have no clue. But at my school, we would watch Brain Pop videos. They were essentially like, and this is going off from memory. I didn't pull up Brain Pop anymore because I'm just going to call them. It's essentially like, it was a private program where they would have like 5 to 10 minute long videos on a certain subject and they'd be animated and stuff. And you could learn about like history, science, quite a few different things. And now it's kind of like the equivalent to like a kid's version of Crash Course YouTube, but this was before YouTube had like really taken off in the educational realm. So like, my school like paid to have this like Brain Pop program and it was all online. So I remember going home and like begging my mom, like, please, can we get a Brain Pop like subscription? Please, please, please. And so she said yes. So after school or on weekends or whenever, I don't really like remember like when, but all I remember is like going home, sitting down on the computer. We had like a desktop and a desk, and I would just watch those Brain Pop videos. I'd watch like every single one. I think by the end of it all, I had watched every single Brain Pop video within like the 5 day like free trial or something. I don't even know, but they had quite a few videos and I watched like all of them. And so then whenever we'd go to school, and I think we continued watching Brain Pop videos for like 2 years after that. And I had watched every single Brain Pop video. So like, I like knew exactly what was going to go on in every single one of them. And so I think that kind of shows like an early passion or like an early entryway to really loving learning, because like it wasn't, I think they're like entertaining, of course, but you're learning something and you're gathering information. Because I remember learning about like Martin Luther King and stuff before like in an earlier age than like our school taught that, and taught like about the civil rights movement. That's one that sticks out, particularly in my mind, but just a lot of different things I remember learning about. I just remember loving watching them. And I felt, yeah, I must have been entertained by them, knowing that I went through like all of the Brain Pop videos within 5 days. But I think that's just, like I said, kind of like an entry point, or kind of like looking back now, like a sign of like how I would love learning in the future. But I also think it's important to say this, that I hated reading. Oh my gosh. I remember during like reading class, I just hated it. I liked when the teacher would read, but I just remember when it was like independent reading time, I would never read. I would just stare at the clock. And I remember if we had to like read anything out of like a textbook, I just wouldn't. Or like on our reading assignments and reading calendars, I think half the time I put on there, like I was more staring at the wall and not reading. So yeah, like now that reading is like the main area where I learn, it's just kind of funny because growing up, I hated reading time, but I loved when other people read to me, which is interesting. In grade school, I don't remember enjoying it in particularly. Again, I was pretty little, but I don't remember being like, oh my gosh, I love school, I love learning. Like, no, I don't think that was a main focus of mine. I think I liked when the bell rang to get out of school, but I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't remember coming home being like, oh man, I love this lesson. But again, I was pretty little. But I do have some memories in middle school of really liking learning when teachers would, I don't know, I kind of call it like going above and beyond, like going past the curriculum a bit, or like speaking from their own experiences. Because a lot of my education was like PowerPoints and stuff, where they would just have these PowerPoints that they put together for like years, or they've been teaching for years, and they would pretty much just read off of them and elaborate where they needed to, and then we'd take a test on what we'd learned. But there would be times where I remember, like, I'm pretty sure this was geography. My teacher, like, had went to China, and he explained about a lot of his experiences in China, and I remember finding that really interesting. And then I had, like, an eighth grade science teacher, and I remember with any topic, she would just go above and beyond and explain her life experiences with those topics, or, like, that was an election year, so she would also spend a bit of her time, like, teaching us how, like, the election cycle works. We would do a lot of like trivia stuff. Like, it was a lot of fun. I just remember constantly learning like stuff that involved science, but also just like life stuff too. And I just remember paying attention in that class from like start to finish and just loving every single minute of that class so much. And in reflecting over my experience of learning in middle school made me think that what I enjoyed learning about or like a teaching style kind of carried on through 9th and 10th grade. And how I learned 9th and 10th grade was very similar. I feel like in 9th and 10th grade, a lot of teaching is still, I don't know the proper term, but like by the book. Like, I feel like it's very much like textbook, PowerPoint, trying to kind of get the job done, trying to, you know, keep those test scores up and stuff. But there even be a few times in those classes too where teachers would go from their own experience, which I found really, really interesting and made the time kind of fly by. But I just remember like some history classes I had to take in freshman and sophomore year, it was like 100% by the book, no elaboration. And I just remember being bored to death, like literally. But then history is now one of my favorite subjects, and that's just because later on, history was taught so different to me. And that's just kind of sad, like, to think about how, you know, teaching by the books is kind of, like, not a super, I mean, it's an efficient way to, like, take good notes and to be a good test taker, but you don't learn that much. And I feel like if you're going to school and putting all that time in, you should be learning and growing. But, you know, maybe a lot of people do pay attention to and really enjoy PowerPoints. I don't know. I don't enjoy it, but I'm sure other people might thrive on that. So I guess, you know, what my learn, it's not like all of our learning styles are the same, but it's just kind of interesting. So then my love for history and learning, I think, really started to grow when I took AP World History. So I'd never taken like an explicit world history class. So I had taken geography, which of course covers the world and some of its history. But I feel like AP World History was a class where we were learning so many new things about the world where like, I don't know. I feel like I believe that when you learn new things, a lot of like the why or the curiosity kind of, it grows. Like, I feel like you learn more, but then your scope of whys or your scope of questioning only grows more, which is like a really beautiful thing, actually. I feel like if you start off not knowing much, you can become confident in some beliefs, but then once that confidence is pushed a little bit or you start questioning your beliefs, you know, your confidence kind of has to go to the back burner. You kind of have to let go of your ego. And then you realize that there is so much more. And if you're interested in that, you should totally read Think Again by Adam Grant. It's a book that explains all about that. It's an incredible book. So if you're interested in kind of like how the learning process works, I would highly recommend that book. But anyways, back to world history, I learned about new places and actually created a travel list. So in geography in eighth grade, I learned about all of our continents and what kind of consists of them, but I didn't really know their history or their background or how the world came to be because, you know, when I grew up in America in the 21st century, and that is very different from, like, we basically started from, like, primitive societies in AP World History and made our way up to, like, the American Industrial Revolution. So it was quite the jump. And then you really get to see how our world was tied together. And it's just, it's super, super interesting. And also, again, with that ego area, like, it's so cool to know that, like, what I was born into was not built by me. It was not built by my parents. It was built from, you know, just layers and layers and layers of people, you know, that created this world and where we are today. And how, when you learn about things that have happened in history, you really understand the saying that history repeats itself, because it sure does. And that kind of leads to my next bullet point, which is that, like, I feel like I felt like I really developed a better, more applicable education that I had not really experienced in a lot of other classes before. And then just kind of one example to throw that out is, like, in AP World History, I learned about the bubonic plague, or some know as, like, the Black Death, which killed about a third of, like, the population in areas where the Black Death was prevalent, which is huge. And I remember going through quarantine, like, the very first time in March of 2020 and everything shutting down. I just remember, like, going back to everything that I'd learned about the bubonic plague. And again, COVID does not compare to the bubonic plague really whatsoever, for the knowledge that we know now, but it was almost like a way to understand, like, okay, this isn't the newest thing in the world. Like, society has gone through a pandemic before when it comes to illness. And fortunately, we live in a society now where we have much more advanced technology. Like, we have vaccinations that can help us, you know, with COVID. So I thought that was really, really cool. And, like, in the beginning, before there was a vaccine, when I was really putting the bubonic plague and COVID kind of in a similar playing field and understanding how quarantine and how pandemics work, I felt like that was almost comforting to kind of know, like, okay, we've done this before. Like, you know, like, this isn't brand new. Although it's new to me and it's new to many people living in this world, it's not the newest thing that has ever happened. And we can get through it. So it's just, when you learn more, I think a lot of the fear kind of goes away. Although COVID is still something to be, you know, mindful of and everything, I felt like going through it, like, okay, like, learning about the bubonic plague and the Black Death, knowing that this isn't, I keep on stressing the point, like, I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying, like, COVID and quarantine isn't the, not COVID, but I'm meaning, like, quarantine and a pandemic, this has happened before. It's not new, and it's not a doomsday event, especially with the severity of both diseases. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of tiptoeing because I don't want to act like I'm comparing the two, which I'm not. I'm mainly stressing, like, the newness and the pandemic and disease part. I'm not comparing, like, they're separate entities, but just in the beginning when everything was new, learning about the bubonic plague kind of gave me a little bit more of a sense of, like, what this is. So hopefully I'm expressing myself clearly, because I don't want to act like I'm comparing the two, because they're completely two different diseases. So, yes. And then, speaking more about COVID, like I mentioned in previous episodes, like, in March of 2020, my school went fully online. So we had a lot of independent work. And so I feel like, to make school interesting, because it was independent work, you had to kind of become engrossed in what you're learning. And I remember different books that we had to read for class. I remember we read, like, 1984 by George Orwell. And I think a lot of kids didn't even read the book, but I read it and I really, like, was interested in it. I feel like during that time, like, different books that we had to read, like, for German and for, I forget what class, it was world literature that we had to read some Orwell for, 1984. I feel like I became really engrossed with everything that I had to read during COVID and stuff. And I feel like that's probably where my passion for reading really started to develop, because like 1984 is such a great book. And then if you're also kind of in quarantine and you don't have much else going on, reading is like such a fun escape to kind of go into different worlds for a little bit. So I've been recommending books today. So I'll also recommend 1984 by George Orwell. If you haven't read it, you like literally have to read it. Like, it's kind of a must in our world today. So, but I really do want to stress the point where like, I feel like I started to really, really love learning with AP World History. And then with that, I kind of brought that same passion and attitude to online learning, where I was in a circumstance where I could either hate every single day waking up with online school, or I could love it and really get into the passion of kind of teaching yourself. And yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was kind of a fun experience. So then, you know, after a few months, summer vacation, you know, obviously happened. And I decided to read a bit more in the summer, too. My favorite biography of all time is the biography Steve Jobs. It's also like a book that you have to read in your lifetime. And I feel like that book really changed like my perspective in life and really how I view entrepreneurship and how I view creating just overall like a great product and passion for work and everything. And that's another instance where I really fell in love with reading and really understood overall like how much you can learn from picking up a book and reading it. And that biography is actually really cool too, because it starts off with like before Steve Jobs is born to after his death. And you really get to learn all about his life and also his legacy. And it's just, I feel like a must read, because I've heard other people use this phrase to kind of describe Steve Jobs, but he definitely has a magic to him, and you can kind of feel his magic even in his biography. So it's really, really great. But overall in the summer, I felt like reading was such a great way to kind of like live in a little different world with COVID and stuff. And also, again, I had more time on my hands. And I feel like when you have more time on your hands, especially alone time, reading is a great avenue to go down, because using your phone and just scrolling on TikTok isn't a super fulfilling way to live. I mean, it's fun and everything, but it's not fulfilling, and you learn, but you don't learn much. So, I mean, some people might. I personally don't. So then when school started back up in the fall, I took a poli sci class, and this was actually a college class I was taught through my school. So it was pretty rigorous, but I just remember loving it. And again, man, I'm talking about two different election years in one episode, but it was also an election year. And, you know, I think politics, as we have unfortunately seen, can be really, really confusing. But I think, again, and I kind of spoke on this, is education really opens up the world. And I feel like I was able to make the most educated decision I could on the election. And I feel like that class really helped me see politics in a different light. And I'm not going to go too far into that, because politics are just so touchy right now, for for the right reasons. But yeah, I think overall, it's really our duty to be educated people in this world. So yeah. But I wanted to talk about, because we're kind of talking about books, I wanted to talk about a few books I kind of read during this political science era. But I read Social Darwinism and American Thought. And that really, really helped me form my perspective, again, on political ideology and also creating a political landscape and creating issues to win votes. And it was so cool the timing that I got to read that book. And I recommend reading Social Darwinism and American Thought and trying to connect it to politics today, because I think you really can. And also, like, learning about social Darwinism is so fascinating in general, because it was such kind of a, like, it was a little bit of, like, a heinous belief. And the amount of ways it's been twisted and used in politics is so, so interesting to learn about. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this episode is me talking about my favorite books. But, hey, I don't know. I like talking about my favorite books. And then also I read Alexander Hamilton's biography, which, again, starts before he was born and ends after he dies. And I feel like that was just a really cool book to kind of learn about how anyone can kind of jump into politics and just the work that it takes to kind of start over in your life and stuff. And kind of more on this and learning is, because this was a college class, I was really able to see not only the rigor, but like the fulfillment and the depth of content, or yeah, I think like just overall depth of the class. I felt so fulfilled by learning. And again, I was able to connect the class so much to US politics. And that is where I also wanted to talk about humanities, which was such a cool class because I got to read books that kind of centered around the world and what it means to be a human. And I think overall with all of that, I really made reading like such a discipline in my life and learning a discipline, because fortunately I have faced quite a few formative experiences in my life, as I've mentioned, I feel like before. And I think learning and being as educated as you can is such a great way to really react positively to formative experiences that we're pushed in. And this is all my opinion, but I believe that books are the best way to learn, because you can't, you know, the hook and hold method doesn't really work in books, or it works in a different way. Like, I'm not talking about fiction books here. I'm talking about what my air quote of educational books would be. I believe that, like, books are centered around facts, and, you know, you can read the footnotes. Like, some of the books I've read have, like, over 100 pages and footnotes, and, you know, they're credible, and they're such a great way to be engrossed in a topic. And I'm not saying be an expert in a topic, but just kind of knocking off, you know, a level and growing in a topic and learning about a topic. And I feel like that's important because how we live in today, it's really common to just like hear some information from somebody or read a headline and think, you know, reading the headline and reading the whole article are two different things. But then what if you take that into a scope of a book? Because someone who writes a book on a topic is typically an expert on the topic and has done hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of research. So if you can give about 4 hours of your time to read that book, you can grow off of their knowledge and then make educated decisions on really important things like how to speak to people, how to be a decent human being, you know, how to view politics, how to view religion, which are all like, I get there things that you're not really supposed to talk about. But I think it's really important to be respectful. And I feel like learning, you know, about the world and in different places, at least for me, is how you really learn that. It takes kind of a little bit of the selfishness out, and you're able to broaden your perspective, as many people say, and realize it's not just you in the world. And, you know, not everyone in this world thinks the same way as you do. Not everyone in this world has had the same experience as you did. Actually, many people in the world have no clue what your life is like at all. And, you know, that feeling is obviously reciprocated. So I feel like reading and learning about the world in a more engrossed way is really like our duty, like I mentioned before. And overall, learning is our duty. And it's a discipline that I believe needs to be practiced. And it's our duty to be educated people from wherever you are. And I think the more knowledge and understanding you have, I think the less fear you have. And, you know, I believe I learned quite a bit, but I can still be quite fearful. So I just think it would be so cool to be at a point where you're able to see through things and be so knowledgeable where the fear aspect really kind of starts to diminish. So yeah, I don't know. That's my 2 cents. And again, I'm not an expert on any topic that I have studied, but, and it's just the beginning, but that is how I developed my passion for learning. As you can tell how I went off on that tangent, I'm obviously passionate about learning. And I think, I can't stress this enough, but I really believe it is our duty, to be an educated collective group of people. And so, yeah, hopefully you feel inspired. Hopefully you know more than me listening to this, because it's really cool to talk to people who know more than you. That's like really, really cool. But overall, I feel like a book that I read recently must have been like my creative muse for this, because like I Think Again by Adam Grant kind of came up a bit in this podcast, but I just really felt, I guess, kind of inspired by his book and everything. So if you want to check it out, please do. I can actually, here, I have the book by me. Give me 2 seconds. But yeah, so it's Think Again by Adam Grant, The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. And let me just say this. So this is from Bill and Melinda Gates. Think Again is a must read for anyone who wants to create a culture of learning and exploration, whether at home, at work, or at school. With warmth and humor, Adam Grant distills complex research into a compelling case for why each of us should continually question old assumptions and embrace new ideas and perspectives. In an incredibly divided world, the lessons in this book are more important than ever. Although I hope you know that this is not sponsored. It's not sponsored for Think Again by Adam Grant. Although I do really believe it's an important book that you should read. And I mean, I got it at Target, but it's New York bestselling. I'm sure you can find New York Times bestselling. I'm sure you can find it in many different places. But anyways, thank you so much for listening to me. I am kind of on, I guess I was on my soapbox a little bit today, which Adam Grant would not be too happy with me about. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is a podcast about my life. I should share something I feel very passionate about. And I look forward to kind of sharing other passions. And hopefully I was being respectful in all of my explanation, especially when it comes to COVID. But I just wanted to say thank you for listening. And I don't know what next week's episode will entail, because I'll be packing up and getting ready to move to college that week. So I don't know what my episode will be, but it'll be interesting. I can promise you that. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and hopefully you come out of here learning something, or I don't know. But yes, I was very happy that I was able to share one of my passions with you all. All right. Well, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. Peace out.